الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين حياكم الله ومرحبا بكم my noble brothers and sisters to Marcus Ibn Umar Ibn Umar Islamic Center especially to our guests who came from America in different states some of them from Philadelphia brother I see from Buffalo here another brother from Atlanta we welcome you guys and brothers and sisters from Toronto likewise to the center. Today we're with our noble brother and elder Abu Abdurrahman Samir, who's a student in Islamic University of Medina. He graduated the faculty of Hadith 2016, and then after that he did a diploma in the faculty of Da'wah and Usul al-Din. He did a diploma for 1 year on Aqidah. He's a noble brother and close friend of mine, and we're honored to have him over here in Toronto with us, and he's going to be going through an important text today and tomorrow, and Sunday is going to be a sister's section. So today's text is going to be about the hadith of the seven who are under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there is no other shade except his shade. And this is something that is very important, and it's important for the Muslims to know who these seven people are so we could be like them and follow their steps. So we started a little bit late, but what we're going to do, he's going to give his first talk until Isha. We're going to pray Isha, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Ba'd al-Isha, he'll do a second talk. Likewise, tomorrow, 6 p.m., he'll give the talk on explanation of the hadith. We'll pray Isha around 7:15, 7:20. After Isha, he'll give another talk. On Sunday, it'll be at 6 p.m. It's specifically for the sisters, and it'll be about the female scholars of Islam. So it's specifically for them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So inshallah, we're going to start our lesson, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين عما بعد. So I'm very happy and pleased to gather with my noble brothers for the sake of Allah to study our religion together and to seek an understanding in the deen of Islam, understanding that we hope will be beneficial for us and a light for us and a means for us to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The topic of our seminar is a great narration, a narration which is muttafaqun alayhi, and from the most authentic narrations on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the seven individuals who will be blessed with the shade of Allah azza wa jal on the day of resurrection. So we begin reading, and this is the wording of al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى. He mentioned with this chain to أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال. It's been narrated by Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said سبعة يظلهم الله تعالى في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. That there are seven people. There are seven people who will be shaded by Allah under His shade on the day when there will be no shade except His shade. Seven people who Allah will shade them with His shade on the day when there will be no shade except for His shade. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned them one by one. Imamun Adlun, a just ruler. Washabun Nasha'a fi ibadatillah, and a young man who has been brought up in the worship of Allah. And the young man who has been brought up in the worship of Allah. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. And a man whose heart is attached to the masajid. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ. Two people who love each other only for the sake of Allah, they meet and part in His cause alone. سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. ورجل دعت امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله. And a man who refuses the call of a charming woman of noble birth for legal sexual intercourse with her, and he says, indeed I am afraid of Allah. And he says, indeed I am afraid of Allah. ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه. And a person who practices charity, And a person who practices charity so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. That his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَهُ. And a person who remembers Allah in seclusion and his eyes flood with tears. And a person who remembers Allah in seclusion and his eyes flood with tears. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Agreed upon. Before we begin discussing some of the benefits the people of knowledge they have mentioned with regards to this narration, I would like for the noble brothers to ponder and to reflect and to think about this narration and think about some aspects of similarity with regards to these individuals. Why are they all mentioned in this one narration with this great reward? Although their actions are different and their circumstances are different, there's something that gathers them together. There are some aspects which are very praiseworthy, some great traits in the deen that are very praiseworthy that gather these individuals together to be mentioned in the same light in this manner. And also to ponder and to reflect over this narration about some of the fundamentals of Al-Islam that you are able to identify. Some of the great pillars of the deen that you know that could be derived from this narration. Anyone see any similarities? Huh? Go ahead. Salat fil jama'ah. And this mentioned one person, no doubt about this, but there is some aspects. There is something that gathers all of these people together. Taqwa. Huh? Taqwa. At-taqwa. This is one thing, no doubt. These are all people of taqwa. Alhamdulillah. Nam. Was you going to say the same thing?
The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The ibadat Allah Azza wa Jal. No doubt, the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Naam, this is correct. But there are some more issues that we want to reach any closer. These are good answers, but not the one that I'm looking for.
Ihsan.
Huh? Al-Ihsan fil ibadah. They have reached a high level of excellence in worship. No doubt about that. This is something that gathers them all together. This is something that gathers them all together. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned from the greatest traits that they all share is as-sabr. As-sabr fi dhati Allahi Azza wa Jal. Being patient in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Being patient upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being patient in avoiding and staying away from the actions of disobedience that are not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So all of these people here, they are exerting themselves in the utmost effort of patience. In the utmost effort of patience. And patience, as the people of knowledge, they mention, is three aspects. Sabrun ala ta'atillah. Patience upon performing the actions of obedience. Wa sabrun an ma'siyatillah. And patience in leaving and avoiding and staying away from actions of disobedience. Wa sabrun ala aqdarillahi al-mu'lima. And to be patient in dealing with the painful decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are the three aspects of patience. And we'll find that these people, they are exerting themselves in the greatest manner. And they are establishing this great right, being patient for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. One, he must have patience in being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establishing the obligations. And likewise, one must have patience in avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions and leaving off that which is haram and considered disobedience. This requires great patience. And likewise, one, he must be patient in dealing with the calamities of life and the trials and the challenges of life, the waves of life. Sometimes there are hardships and difficulties one he may face in his worldly life, in his health or in his wealth or in his prosperity or in his family, or losing the life of a loved one and the likes like this, or he may become sick and go through hardships and difficulties that are from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So all of this requires patience. So these people here, they have gathered this trait, striving to be patient in the face of these challenges, striving to be patient upon the obedience of Allah, striving to be patient in leaving off and turning away from disobedience of Allah, and striving to be patient dealing with the decrees and that which Allah has written for mankind to befall them. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that patience is also divided into other parts as well from another aspect. Into three more parts as well from another aspect. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned sabrun billah, wa sabrun lillah, wa sabrun ma'allah. Sabrun billah, wa sabrun lillah, wa sabrun ma'allah. Sabrun billah, Sabrun billah, Allah, he mentioned to his Prophet, wasbiru ma sabruka illa billah, and be patient, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your patience is not except by Allah. It's not except by Allah. So sabrun billah is to seek the help of Allah azza wa jalla, to be patient. And to realize that one cannot be patient if Allah does not grant him patience. So therefore he will strive to be patient, but in doing that he seeks the help and the aid from Allah. So he will attach his heart to Allah azza wa jalla, seeking his help and seeking his aid, begging him to facilitate for him to be patient. To be patient upon the obedience of Allah. To be patient in avoiding and staying away from the disobedience of Allah. And to be patient in dealing with the calamities and the hardships and difficulties and challenges of life. So he must be patient by the help of Allah and through Allah. So one cannot be patient if Allah does not grant him patience. One cannot be patient if Allah does not grant him patience. So in order to be patient, one, he must realize this, that it's a favor from Allah and a blessing from Allah. So one, he must seek the aid of Allah Azza wa Jalla and being patient. And we see here that being patient is from the greatest aspects of worship. Rather, no action of worship could truly be established properly except with patience. So therefore, one, he must seek the help of Allah to establish it. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, O Allah, and you alone do we seek your aid and help. And every aspect of worship, is for Allah alone. And we can only do that if Allah, he helps us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then likewise, the sabr, لَبُدَّ أَن يَكُونَ صَبْرًا لِلَّهِ. Sabr لِلَّهِ. That it must be for the sake of Allah. Not showing off or showing how strong one is or how well he can deal with the challenges of life or how firm he is in the face of hardship and difficulty. Nothing bothers him. Nothing can move him. And these hardships in life and these calamities in life, they do not affect him. And he's trying to show his courage and trying to show his strength outwardly so that people may praise him. And the likes like this. This is not correct. This is contrary. This is a type of riyah. This is a type of showing off. The sabr labudda an yakuna lillah. Sabrun lillah, it must be for the sake of Allah. He must be patient for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah. So he'll be patient upon performing the obligations, hoping for the reward from Allah. He'll be patient in avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions, hoping for the reward from Allah. He'll be patient in dealing with the calamities and hardships of life, hoping for the reward from Allah. He has to have ikhlas in this. He has to have a pure intention in this patience that he's persevering and that he's going through. The third aspect of people of knowledge, they mention also, sabrun ma'allah, to be patient with Allah. And what the people of knowledge, they mention, meaning with the rulings of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is also included here with the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be patient with Allah, yani with al-ahkam al-shar'iyya al-diniyya wal-ahkam al-kawniyya al-qadariyya. A person, he must be patient with the commands of Allah. With the universal commands of Allah, that he decrees that befall the people, and likewise, one, he must be patient with the legislative commands of Allah. So these people here, they're role models in this affair. They're role models in this affair, yani in being patient for the sake of Allah and upon the path of Allah. And being patient upon something sometimes can be easy if the call for that is not strong, or if it's not facilitated for a person. If there are certain sins, for example, like stealing or drinking alcohol. If a person, he has no desire for that, then it's easy for him to be patient and to leave it. Or if even he lives in a facility where there's no alcohol to be found in the first place, then it's not easy for him to commit that. So to be patient in dealing with this particular thing is easy for him. But as for whenever the caller, the heart is calling and is lusting and desiring and wanting it strongly and it's available readily, at this time patience becomes very difficult and the soul will start to burn. And the soul will start to burn and it will have to deal with some great heat and difficulty. And this is the example of these people. These people here, they're facing situations where it's very difficult to be patient. So this is a reward for that, a clarification of the great reward for the patient. Also, there's another aspect, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned with regards to these people. Along with patience, likewise, another great characteristic and trait that every believer should strive to learn about and to know and implement in their life. And that is mujahadat al-nafs. Mujahadat al-nafs, and this is also along with being patient. But it's another reality and an issue that the people of knowledge, they speak about. Jihad al-nafs, or mujahadat al-nafs, and striving against the soul. Jihad al-nafs fi sabilillah, striving against the soul in the path of Allah. striving against the soul in the path of Allah. That a person, he must strive against his soul to be obedient to Allah, to establish the commandments of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. He must strive against his soul to turn away from what his soul calls to and show preference to the command of Allah. And show preference to the command of Allah. And leave off what his heart and his soul is desiring, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called jihadun nafs, or mujahadat and nafs. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, it has four levels. Four levels for jihad al-nafs. And yujahida al-mar'u nafsahu ala ta'alam al-huda wal-ilmi nafid. That a person, he must strive against his soul in order to learn the guidance and beneficial knowledge that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. A person, he must strive against his soul. This likewise takes patience. One must strive against his soul to learn the guidance that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with. After that, he must strive against his soul to implement that knowledge that he learned. This is all from jihad and nafs. This is what these people, they're involved in. Striving against their souls to implement the knowledge that they know. With regards to that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal and that which is displeasing to Him. With regards to that which will earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and that which will earn His anger. So one, he must strive against the soul to learn these affairs. The guidance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. Then he must strive against his soul to implement that in his life, in public and in private. In the market, in the masjid, in the school, and in the occupation, wherever he may be. Uphold his shahada properly and firmly, and keep it good and strong and clean. And after that, likewise, he must strive against his soul to help others as well, and to call them and to benefit them, and to help them be upon this beneficial knowledge and this guidance that he has learned and these good deeds that he is upon himself. And likewise, he should be patient upon that, striving against his soul to be patient upon that. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla referred to in Surah Al-Asr. And we're all aware of this particular chapter. Likewise, if we look into the narration before we even begin reading, we see the other great principles, foundations from the deen, like what? Al-Iman bil-yawm al-akhir, like believing in the last day. There's a belief in the last day here. This narration is about events that are going to occur in the last day. So in the affairs of the last day, al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that's al-imanu bi-kulli ma yakunu ba'd al-maut mimma akhbarat bihi ar-rusul alayhim as-salatu was-salam. To believe in everything that happens after death that the messengers have informed us about, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. This is what it means to believe in the last day. So from those affairs, to believe in this, this is what our Prophet has informed us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the day of judgment, the sun is going to draw near. And there are going to be people who are affected in a great manner, sweating. Some of them, the sweat will come up to their legs or their ankles, and others higher and higher, until some of them it will come to their chest, and others it will come into their mouth, and they'll be covered. Yani out of fear and fright. What will happen on that day? As for these people here, they're going to be in the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're going to be in the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal as a recompense for the efforts that they were striving for in this life and for the patience that they persevered with regards to in this life. And there are many other benefits to be derived likewise. But just to realize these points here, any of these are from the most important issues with regards to this affair, and Allah knows best. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمْ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Seven people will be shaded by Allah the Most High under His shade on the day when there will be no shade except His. So the narration, it begins with the number, سَبْعَةٌ, seven. And he's seven individuals. And this is a prophetic methodology. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to mention issues in the religion. Whether the rulings or whether they're encouragements or whether the descriptions of individuals praising them or descriptions of individuals blaming them, mentioning goodness or mentioning ills and evils and the likes like this, and coupling it with numbers. We have here seven people. What happens to your heart whenever you hear the likes of this narration? Seven people, they're going to be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal on a day when there's no shade except for His shade. And then we just stop talking now. What happens?
You get scared.
How you get scared? What else?
Well,
You want more. هذا أسلوب التشويق. أسلوب التشويق يشوقك إلى أن تسمع وتسقي لك سمعك. You now you start to listen. Like, well, when you hear that seven individuals, they're going to be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of resurrection. Now you're like, oh, I want to hear. What's the first one? What's the first one? So this is a means to draw the attention to the student and to the listener, and also a means to memorize the knowledge precisely. Because if a person he were to hear the seven and then he learned and then he listened, and then he tried to repeat it back, he had the first one, the second one, the third one, and then if he counted down, he only had six. For example, he knows he has one missing. He knows he has one missing. So this is from the means of hivl al ilmi wa dabtihi. This is from the means of memorizing the knowledge and preserving it. Hivl al ilmi wa dabtuhu, to memorize the knowledge and to preserve it. Sometimes to connect the issues to numbers. To connect the issues to numbers. And this is not something that one he would do all the time, but sometimes this is the case. And this is a prophetic way. And again, it encourages the person to listen attentively, and it causes him to yearn for the knowledge and to wait to hear what is going to be mentioned in the coming narration. Examples of this in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are many. From that, with regards to the khayr and the goodness, which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith of Anas radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thalathu man kunna fihi wajada bihinna halawat al-iman." Three affairs, whoever has them, whoever obtains them, he will find by way of them the sweetness of faith. And then he mentioned those three affairs. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, this narration we discuss, yani with regards to this text, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Likewise, with regards to evil. Likewise, with regards to evil, also in Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, arba'un man kunna fihi kana munafiqan khalisan. Four affairs, whoever has them, he's a pure hypocrite. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنْهُنَّ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ حَتَّى يَدْعَى. And whoever has one of these traits, then he has a trait of hypocrisy until he leaves it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned these affairs. The point that we want to learn now, mentioning these numbers, coupling these issues of encouragement to learn these traits and attributes and to apply them, or to be aware of them and to leave them and avoid them for the sake of Allah. So he mentioned these four traits. Whoever has them, he's a pure hypocrite. Whoever has one of them, then he has a trait of hypocrisy until he leaves it. إِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. If he is entrusted, he betrays the trust. وَإِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبْ. And if he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا عَهَدَ غَدَرٍ. And if he makes a promise, he'll betray it. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجْرٍ. And if he debates with the people, he will violate the rights and go beyond the truth into falsehood in order to establish his proof. So these are examples of this. There are many, many examples likewise in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using numbers. So far we have seven. Then we have three. Then we have four. Right? So far, and these are different narrations. We mentioned three now. The narration we have, the mention of seven. The narration of Anas, the mention of three. The narration of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhumah, the mention of four. Also, there's a narration connected by Imam Ahmad and other than him, which is authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah from the hadith of Ubad ibn Samir radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِضْمَنُوا لِي سِتَّن مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَضْمَنْ لَكُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, guarantee, if you guarantee me six affairs and I guarantee you paradise. Guarantee me six affairs and I guarantee you paradise. Who was given the guarantee? Who was given the guarantee? The Muslim. Who is the one giving it? Who is the one promising the guarantee? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is being guaranteed? The Jannah, that one will enter paradise. So this is a great affair. All you have to do is bring six affairs. Six affairs, again mentioning a number. So now whenever you hear this, what do you want to do? Like if we just kept going now and we left them right now, go back and talk about it. Just mention them at least, right? Because it calls you now. This is a beautiful way of teaching. So sometimes a teacher, he will use the likes of this. He'll use the likes of this methodology to clarify the truth and to refute the falsehood and to encourage the people upon goodness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Usduqu idha haddathtum." Be truthful whenever you speak. وَأَوْفُوا إِذَا وَعَدْتُمْ. And fulfill your promises whenever you make promises. وَأَدُّوا إِذَا تُمِنْتُمْ. And fulfill the trust if you are entrusted. وَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ. And protect your private parts. وَغَضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ. And lower your gaze. وَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ. And refrain your hands from harming the people. and refrain your hands from harming the people. So to have the guarantee of paradise, one, he must bring all of these affairs. So again, this is a prophetic methodology. This is a prophetic methodology. So now, barakallahu fikum, we go back to our topic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمَ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. Seven individuals, Allah will shade them with His shade on the day there is no shade except for His shade. So is this number intended here? Like there's only seven individuals, or is it not intended? هَلِ الْعَدِلِ الْمَذْكُورِ مَفْهُومِ أَمْ لَا. Has seven types, no doubt. This, what is intended is not seven individuals by their name, persons, but rather seven types of people. But even then, is it only seven types of people? And no one else besides these types of people will have the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal? This issue here, the people of knowledge, they have discussed. It has come in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abu Al-Yasir radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أنظر معسرا أوضع عنه أظله الله في ظله. That whoever gave a person experiencing hardship and difficulty, and I mean specifically somebody who's in debt, whoever gave him respite and he made it easy for him, either by the period being lengthened or by the amount being lightened. Whoever did this for someone who is experiencing hardship, awwada anhu, or completely forgave him and pardoned him for the debt entirety, which is better, adhallahu fi dhillihi. Adhallahu fi dhillihi. Then Allah will put him under His shade. Then Allah will put him under His shade. And also it is connected by Al-Imam Ahmad as well, with a chain that is authentic from the hadith of Abi Qatada radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a similar narration. Man nafasa an gharimihi aw maha anhu kana fi dhil al-arshi yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever lightens up the affair and makes it easy for the one who owes him money, gharimi, the one who, and he has a debt for him, the one who has a debt to pay him back, or he removed it from him entirely, then he will be in the shade of the throne on the day of resurrection. Then he will be on the shade of the throne on the day of resurrection. So here in both of these narrations, there are two other traits as well. Two other traits, and that is to make it easy in dealing with the people. If somebody is in hardship or difficulty, to lighten that for him. If somebody owes you a debt, to lighten that for him. The time comes for him to pay it back. He doesn't have the money. He's not able to. You don't put him in hardship. Rather, what's encouraged is to delay it, to let him postpone. Pay it next month, brother. Barakallahu fiqh. This is included here. This type of person, he's promised to be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or he would say, for example, if it's 1,000, he says, you know, I don't have the money. Tell him, khalas, just give me 500, it's even. Like this. You make it easy for him. You make it easy for him. And better than that, أُمَحَ أَنْهُ أَوَضَ أَنْهُ. Better than that, just forgive him for the sake of Allah. You don't have to pay me back. It's okay, brother. Barakallahu fi. Because he's mu'asir. Because he's going through hardship, he's going through difficulty. So the point is now that these two traits here, either to give respite or to completely pardon somebody who owes money, this is also from those who will be under the shade of the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection. So therefore there are a number of individuals, and there are more narrations than this one, and we just summarize. I mentioned this here with regards to these numbers and the likes like this to clarify, and in reality to refute some falsehood that some of the people of misguidance and deviation, and who have hatred for da'wah to tawheed, they make against the great Imam Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, because he has a book called Usul al-Thalatha, and he has a book called Al-Qawa'id al-Arba'ah, and he has a book called Al-Usul al-Sitta. He has a book called The Three Principles. He has a book called The Four Principles. He has a book called The Six Principles. Some people, they say, how many principles does this man make up? How many principles that this literally they say the likes of this? Oh, he three. What is it? Three principles or four principles? Six principles? How many principles is it? And this book is called Three Principles. This book is called Four Principles. This book is called Six Principles. But the reality is that this is a prophetic methodology, and the three principles that are mentioned, they're different from the four principles that are mentioned. Each one is in relation to a specific issue that he's discussing, and he numbered them in this manner to facilitate learning. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we got seven principles, we got seven issues, we got six issues here, right? We got three issues here, four issues here. You know, seven that will have the shade. There's six that's guaranteed paradise. There's four that if you have near hypocrite. There's three if you have them, you will taste the sweetness of faith. So one is with regards to the sweetness of faith, so there's three. One is with regards to attributes of the hypocrite, and there are four. And actually there's more than that. The Prophet just sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned some most important ones here in this narration. Four of them. And then likewise with these six things that one is guaranteed paradise with regards to, there's no doubt other things as well. He must do that for the sake of Allah, for example. And he must be sincere in doing that likewise. So there's other issues that come along with these affairs. So the three principles is with regards to the questions of the grave. The four principles with regards to clarifying the difference between the methodology of the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the methodology of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Clarifying the difference between the creed of Quraysh and the creed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Four principles. If you learn them, you'll know the difference between that and you'll be able to see the Tawheed Khalisah. Alhamdulillah. And then likewise, there's other six principles related to the methodology of life, how a Muslim he should move in his life. And things that he should realize and understand and know to traverse upon the straight path clearly and upon insight. So these numbers here, in reality, they're very beneficial in learning. To mention issues and numbers and the likes like this, or to mention the issues coupled with numbers in order to learn them, memorize them, and understand them, and likewise teach them and spread them. Alhamdulillah. So we have another question here with regards to this issue. We see that it's mentioned rajulun or rajulani and the likes like this. The word rajul is mentioned. What does that mean? Man. So hal dhikru rijal lahu mafhum fi hadha al-hadith lahu mafhum, yani is it understood that it's only for men only, or are women included as well? Are women included as well? You find that in the translation, sometimes it says a person, seven people. Or it will say a person instead of rajul, saying a man, it's translated as a person, because this is what is intended, a person. So in general, the women are included here. They have the opportunity as well, just like a man has to be in the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is in general, except in the case of Al-Imam Al-Adil, the just ruler. Because the women, they cannot be rulers. And this is, as the people of knowledge have mentioned, if what is being referred to is Al-Imamat Al-Uzma, being the Muslim ruler, the one who is in charge of the society and in charge of the government, any of the ruler and the president, the leader of the society, or even of the land and the likes like this, then no doubt a woman, she cannot take that position, so she would not be included there, because she cannot have that position. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَنْ يُفْرِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَوْ أَمْرُهُمْ إِمْرَأَةٌ, that people, they will never be successful if they put a woman in charge of their affairs. So this is something that is established. So with regards to this, she's not included. But some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that she could be included from another aspect, and that is if she has children or she has others under her care and she deals with them justly. She deals with them justly, striving against her soul and her heart to deal just with all of her children and all of those under her care. Then likewise, Allah knows best, some of the scholars like Ibn Hajar mentioned she would be included here. And others mentioned she would not be included here, but no doubt she has a great reward. A great reward. As for the rest of the affairs, then the women, they're included in general. Also with the exception of the one whom his heart is attached to the masjid. And he praying the obligatory prayers in the masjid, because we know that it's allowed for the women to pray in the masjid, but it's better and more virtuous for them to pray in their homes. From the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, which is muttafaqun alayhi, la tamna'u ima'allahi masajid Allah wa buyutuhunna khayrul lahunna. Do not forbid the women slaves of Allah from coming to the masajid of Allah, but their homes are better for them. So she would be excluded from this issue here. As for the other affairs, then likewise the woman shares with the man. And this is the origin with regards to al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah. Al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, the legislative rulings in the deen, the man and the woman, they're equal in this affair. The opportunity that they have to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is the same, and that which is upon them is the same. The same obligations and the same prohibitions. They're equal in this affair, except for in that which the legislation has specified for the male, or specified for the woman, they're equal with regards to these rights. But as for themselves, then the male and the female, they are not equal. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. So the legislation didn't come with equality between the races, but it came with justice between them. justice between them. So a man is not like a woman and a woman is not like a man. But in general, with regards to the legislation, the rulings there are the same, but there are instances and cases where there are rulings that are specific to males and other rulings that are specific to females. As to with regards to these traits here, then in general, the women, they are included except for in that which has been mentioned. And Allah knows best. Except for in that which has been mentioned. And Allah knows best. Here we have a benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, he's saying sab'atun yudhilluhum Allahu fi dhilli. There are seven individuals, seven types of people, not individuals as themselves, but seven individuals meaning types of people. So what is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's not referring to people by name, rather he's referring to people by types, characteristics, traits, and qualities. Characteristics, traits, and any asnaf. Like him, but what are we looking at? We're looking at attributes. We're looking at characteristics. We're looking at traits. And this is in order, and this is an encouragement to learn these traits and to strive to have these traits and to implement them in one's life. This is an encouragement here to learn the likes of these traits and to know them, be aware of them, and to strive and to strive yourself to apply them in your life. And to strive yourself to apply them in your life, hoping to be along with them. Hoping to be along with them in this great virtue, and that is to be in the shade of Allah Azza wa Jalla on a day whenever there is no shade. In a day whenever there is no shade. So here we have another issue, and that is أَهِمِّيَّةُ مَعْرِفَةِ الصِّفَاتِ أَلَتِي يُحِبَّهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَهِمِّيَّةُ مَعْرِفَةِ الصفات الحميدة التي يحبها الله عز وجل ويرضاها. This is the importance, this is a great benefit, the importance of learning the attributes, the praiseworthy attributes that are beloved to Allah عز وجل. The importance of learning the praiseworthy attributes that are beloved to Allah عز وجل and that He's pleased with. Because Allah, He loves these traits and characteristics, and if you have them, He will love you. And Allah, He's pleased with these traits and characteristics, and if you have them, He will be pleased with you. And likewise, أَهَمِّيَّةُ مَعْرِفَةِ الصِّفَاتِ الذَّمِيمَةِ الذَّمِيمَ الْقَبِيحَةِ الذَّمِيمَ الْكَبِيحَةِ الْقَبِيحَةِ. And also the importance of learning the foul and lowly traits, the blameworthy traits, أَلَتِي يُبْغِضُهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيَأْبَاهَا أَلَتِي يُبْغِضُهَا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيَأْبَاهَا. Those traits and characteristics that Allah, He detests and He hates, and He rejects and does not accept. And does not accept because the one who has them, Allah, he despises him. And the one who has them, Allah will reject him and not accept from him. And he will not be able to draw near to Allah with these filthy and lowly traits. And he will not be able to draw near to Allah with these filthy and lowly traits. So many times we find in the book and in the sunnah the mention of traits and characteristics. Just like in these numbers here that we mentioned, 7 and 6, 4 and 3. All of these are mentioning traits. Nobody by name is mentioned. Very few narrations is mentioned where there's praiseworthy people and they're mentioned by name. Fulan fil jannah wa fulan. There are no doubt numbers like that. Likewise, there's 10 who mubashiruna bil jannah. No doubt about that. But compared to the rest of the text with regards to this affair, the mention of individuals specifically by name is very rare. It's very rare. Rather, it's always traits and characteristics. Likewise, the hypocrites, even their names were not mentioned. While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew them, what was mentioned about that? You mentioned traits. A chapter was revealed about them. What was that? A whole chapter was revealed about them, refuting them and clarifying their foul and lowly traits. It's a chapter called Al-Fadiha. At-Tawbah, Ahsant. Most people don't know this name, but it's from the names of Surah At-Tawbah. It has a number of names. At-Tawbah also. It's also Bara'ah. Surah Bara'ah. And also Surah Al-Fadiha. And the Surah At-Tawbah, the Surah is the chapter of repentance because of the mention of the repentance of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu washabihi. And it's also known as Surah Bara'ah because how it begins, Bara'atu min Allahi wa Rasuli. And also it's known as Al-Fadiha. Al-Fadiha is the exposer. And he's the one that exposed the hypocrites in great detail. In great detail, because there's the mention of a number of traits versus clarifying the foul and lowly traits of the hypocrites as if one can see them. As if one can see them. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, to learn about these traits, and this is also a prophetic way. To learn about the traits, and this is also a prophetic way. Even if we look in the Quran, how does it begin? How does it begin? And the Fatiha, mentioning the traits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then the traits of the righteous. اِهْدِنَا سِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who are they? If we go to Surah An-Nisa, Allah, He clarified, وَمَنْ يُطِعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ نَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Those who obey Allah and His Messenger, they are in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. You don't want to be like these people. These people, they have traits. They're up on the straight path. They obey Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to be on that path. Not on this path who are in the anger of Allah, nor on that path who are misguided and astray. And likewise, after that, if you continue reading, Alif Lam Mim, what does Allah discuss in the beginning of Baqarah? The attributes of the righteous. And then the attributes of the disbelievers. The attributes of the righteous, those who are true and sincere in their faith, those who are true and sincere in their faith, and then the attributes of the disbelievers, those who apparently oppose the legislation and the law, and then a number of verses related to the hypocrites, those who outwardly display Islam and inwardly they conceal disbelief. So even Surah Al-Baqarah, the first chapter after the Fatiha, is mentioning these traits, and the traits here of the righteous, they're the ones who are upon the straight path, and then after that there are individuals who are apparently inwardly and outwardly disbelievers, and then there are other individuals who outwardly display Islam but inwardly they conceal disbelief, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah, He mentioned their traits and characteristics. He didn't say Abu Jahl and mentioning the names like this, rather mentioning traits and characteristics. The benefit from this is so that we can learn them, because if we learn the traits of the righteous, we'll be able to identify the righteous. If we learn the traits of truth and piety, we'll be able to identify the people of truth and piety. For this reason, it's narrated from a number of the Salaf, they would say, اعرف الحق تعرف رجاله. Learn the truth and you'll know its people. الحق ولا يعرف بالرجال. The truth is not known by people, by individuals, but rather know the truth and you'll know its people. So if you learn the truth, if you learn the حق بدليله, if you learn the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this evidence, you'll be able to identify the people. You'll be able to see them clearly. And likewise, you yourself will be able to strive to implement those traits and be from them. You yourself will be able to strive to implement those traits and be from them. So this requires knowledge, and then after that, action. Then after that, action. Likewise, learning the traits of falsehood and evil. Learning the traits of disbelief and misguidance. Learning the traits of hypocrisy. Learning the traits of jahiliyyah. Learning the traits of the people in the days of Jahiliyyah, those traits that are contrary to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those creeds and beliefs, those statements and actions and deeds, those methodologies of using evidence and proof and the likes like this, which is contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to learn these ways in order to identify these are people upon Jahiliyyah, these are people upon falsehood, even if they claim Islam, even if they pray and they fast, but maybe they're upon innovation. So one, he will not be able to identify falsehood if he does not know the truth in detail, and if he does not know the falsehood in detail. So in this manner, the path becomes clear by learning the attributes of truth and the people of truth in detail, and by learning the attributes of falsehood and the people of falsehood in detail. Now in this manner, the path becomes clear. وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ السَّبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. In this manner, we clarify in detail the verses, the signs, the proofs. وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ السَّبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. In order for the path of the criminals and the misguided and deviant to become clear. So this is a great benefit here again, that these attributes are mentioned. And this is something that occurs often in the book and the Sunnah. An indication that we should strive to learn about the attributes. Because there are attributes of people, they will be in Na'im. And there are attributes of people, they will be in Jahim. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. لا يستوون. They're not equal. Are the people of the fire and the people of Jannah equal? They're not equal. Barakallah. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The people of paradise, they're the successful. People are confused in these days because of many different reasons. It goes back to ignorance and showing too much preference for this life. They've been overcome from this worldly life and they don't know what true success is. Who can pinpoint for me right now in just a few words, what is true success? Jannah. Ahsant. Huh?
Obeying Allah and His Messenger.
Ahsant. All of this, that's how you get to Jannah, right? Now. فَقَدْ فَازْ أَحْسَنْتَ أَحْسَنْتَ. To get to Jannah, and they have to obey Allah and His Messenger in order to do that. But to make it more clear for us, the one who is successful is the one that whenever the angel of death comes for his soul, he comes for his soul while he is in a state of obedience. He comes for his soul, giving him salam, salamun alaykum tibadun, fadukhuluha khalidin. This is the one who is successful. This is success. Don't get confused. Don't get confused. You can't buy this right here. This part right here, you cannot buy. You don't know when the angel of death is going to come. No one knows when the angel of death is going to come. And this is not important when it comes. What is important is how you are, what state you are in when it comes, what state we are in whenever it comes, what state I am in whenever it comes. This is what is important. So the one who is successful is the one that whenever the angel of death comes to take his soul, he's in a state of piety. His soul is pure. His shahad is strong. You understand that? It's very serious. It's very serious. So this is success. This is success. لَا يَسْتَوَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. In the hereafter, they're not the same. But barakallahu fikum, in this life, they're not the same. The people who go to the hellfire, Allah, He is the most just. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ, and your Lord, He does not oppress anyone. He does not oppress anyone. So they go to there because of deeds that they do. There's belief in creeds, actions, statements, and deeds that one, he would do them until he dies and he lands in the hellfire. What do you have to believe? And there's belief and creed, actions, statements, and deeds that one, he will perform until he dies and he goes by the grace of Allah into the Jannah. So there are traits and characteristics. They're not the same. The people of righteousness, the people of piety, those المتمسكون بالسنة حقا, those who are really holding fast to the Sunnah, those who are really holding fast to the methodology of the Salaf, they are distinguished, especially in these days. Even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that they'll be distinguished. Whether he said they are غُرَبَة, that they're strangers. He said they're strangers. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَة إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا. Islam began as something strange. So those who are truly pious and righteous, their piety makes them strange amongst mankind, because the majority of mankind is misguided. The majority of mankind is misguided and deviant. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, even from the ummah, those who ascribe to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those who are truthful in that are few. And those who are sincere in that and upright upon that way are fewer and fewer. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, to learn these traits. To learn these traits. Allah, He says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَهِيمٍ. That indeed the righteous, they will be in delight. They're in delight in this life, in delight in the grave, and in delight in the hereafter. وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَهِيمٍ. And indeed the wicked and evil, they're in the jahim. They're in the blazing hellfire. They're in pain and agony in this life, in the grave, and in the hereafter. In this life, in the grave, and in the hereafter. And in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning many times characteristics and traits in His book to encourage the believers to know them and to follow the good traits and characteristics, and likewise the evil traits as well, to avoid them and stay away from them. To avoid them and stay away from them. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did the same thing. He did the same thing. So here we study this narration, barakallahu fikum, but the point is not to just increase in knowledge, any just simple knowledge, but rather to understand benefits from this, that these people, they reach this high status with Allah Azza wa Jal because of effort. Because of effort. They're patient. They're patient in the obedience of Allah. They're patient in leaving the disobedience of Allah. Another attribute that people of knowledge, they mentioned that these people they have, that they all share, مُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى. مُخَالَفَةُ الْهَوَى. They're fighting against their souls, being patient, and contradicting their desires. And contradicting their desires. We have desires. We have lusts. We have whims. We have wants that we hope to have. Some of them are lawful and some of them are not lawful. So those impermissible lusts, a person, he has to learn to overcome them and not let them overcome him. A person, he has to learn to overcome them and not let them overcome him. Understand that. These people excelled in that. In مُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى, and he being in opposition to the hawa. So with the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with huda. And everything that's contrary, that is called hawa. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Allah, he mentioned to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they do not respond to you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you must know that they're only following their desires. So we have two opportunities in this life. Either we will respond to the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we will follow our desires. Or we will follow our desires. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever He calls you to that which will give you life. So by responding to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will have a good life. You'll come to life. You have a life of piety and righteousness. You'll be from the likes of these individuals. By rejecting the call of the Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he will follow his desires. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned about the hawa. Al-hawa sumiya hawan li'annahu yahwi bi sahibihi ala umi rasihi fi an-nar. That the hawa is called hawa because it lands a person on his face in the hellfire. Waliyadhu billah. Yahwi bi sahibihi ala umi rasihi fi an-nar. That it will lead a person to fall head first into the hellfire. The one who follows his desires, this is the case. So there are seven people here that have the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal on a day whenever there is no shade except for His. The people of knowledge, they mentioned what is intended by the dhil, the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. That this is idafatun at-tashrif wa takrim. The shade of Allah Azza wa Jal, the shade here is being ascribed to Allah. What shade is it? It's the shade of Allah. But this description here is in order to honor and to show dignity and respect. Like whenever he says Baytullah. Al-Ka'batu Baytullah. Wa Muhammadun Rasulullah. Right? This is the house of Allah. It's ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. What is the benefit of ascribing the house to Allah? To honor it and to respect it, to show its high and lofty status. Likewise, Naqatullah, the Shikamu of Allah. Likewise, to show its status and rank. So sometimes there are things from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal that are ascribed to Allah from this aspect. Idafatu at-tashrif, at-tashrif wa takreem. So this is what is intended here. The shade of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning a shade that Allah, He will create subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner befitting His Majesty. That is a means to honor these individuals. And it has come in Sunan Sa'id ibn Mansur, rahimahullahu ta'ala, this narration likewise from the hadith of Salman al-Farisi, radiyallahu anhu, and in this wording he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sab'atun yudhilluhum Allahu fi dhili arshihi. That there are seven, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He will shade them in the shade of His arsh. Until the end of the hadith. And likewise, in one wording in Bukhari, fi dhillihi yawm al-qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. Yani that on a day that Allah will shade, that they will be shaded by Allah the Most High under His shade on the day of resurrection, on a day whenever there will be no shade except for His. And likewise in the narration that we read previously from Abi Qatada, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَن نَفَسَ عَنْ غَرِيمِهِ أَوْ مَحَى عَنْهُ كَانَ فِي ظِلِّ الْعَرْشِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That whoever lightens the affair on the one who owes him a debt, or he removes that debt from him entirely, then he will be in the shade of the throne on the day of resurrection. So Allah knows best what is intended here, the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal, the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a shade that Allah will create and honor these individuals with on the day of resurrection. We need to pray. Or we'll keep going.
5 minutes.
What if I take more than 5 minutes? Tayyib, 5 minutes?
What do you want, 10 minutes?
We can just take this later then, inshallah. I have some benefits from what Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with regards to this narration. It may take more than 5 minutes. Huh? Go for that, or we can wait and start it with the next class. We'll take any questions. If anybody has any comments or questions or corrections, we can take them now.
So the shade is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, the shade from the throne of Allah. The shade of the throne. Dhil al-Arsh, and Allah knows best. Also, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Adam Ethiopi, rahimahullah, he mentioned the same issue here. And a number of scholars, they mentioned the same thing. Naam, this is what is supported by these evidences here, and Allah knows best. Naam.
You said that the
Mujahid
at the left is broken into four.
Aha.
What were the four left?
Majahadatun nafs. Arba'u maratib. The striving is the soul is four levels. Upon learning the guidance and beneficial knowledge that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with. One, he must strive against the soul to learn the beneficial knowledge and guidance that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with. And then he must strive after that, the second level, to implement that knowledge and to abide by it in his life, wherever he may be. Wherever he may be. And the third level is he must, after that likewise, help others. Help others by teaching them and advising them and admonishing them according to his knowledge. According to his knowledge. It's not necessarily mean that everyone is going to be a khatib, or everyone is going to be a mudarris, or everyone is going to be a sheikh, and the likes like this, but he will advise and admonish and educate people according to the knowledge that he has. According to the knowledge that he has, each one according to his ability and his level and rank. So the one who knows is not like the one who does not know. The one who knows is not like the one who does not know. And then the fourth one is to be patient upon all of that until death comes. Until death comes. Barakallahu fikum. Naam.
The three affairs, whoever has them, taste the sweetness of
Iman. We're going to take that one, inshallah. It's going to come and it's going to come. I left that one off on purpose. Jazakallah khairah. We'll talk about that with Ar-Rajulani Tahabba Fillah. Ijtama'a alayhi wa tafarraqa alayhi. Naam.
What was the significance again when Allah says, like, the sheep have more of Allah?
The she camel, this is to emphasize the importance of that affair and to honor it, to respect it. So it's ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jalla so that it should be honored and respected. And this is why those people there were destroyed, because they did not honor and respect it. Now, so this is the case. And sometimes these things that are from the creation, clearly objects that Allah has created, they're ascribed to Allah. They're ascribed to Allah. This description here, it has this meaning of showing respect and honor and also importance. And the likes, and Allah knows best. نكتفي بهذا؟
نعم.
هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
إن شاء الله we're gonna pray and then after prayer we'll have a second sit down, inshallah.